Welcome back to Shuffle Bloody Shuffle, unearthing metal's bangers and clangers through the decades, one subgenre at a time. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm good, man. I'm good. This is. Can we say what's happening on this episode?
I think we should. Yeah, go on.
Because so this is the first episode where we're recording a bit differently, aren't we? Because we are actually going to do a video. Mm-hmm. We're going to do video episodes from now on for YouTube.
Yep. So for those listening on just purely audio platforms, go check us out on YouTube because there is footage now and you can sort of see what we look like.
I don't get it, man. I don't get why. I don't get it. Like that. I mean, it's the reason we didn't start at the beginning because I didn't want to do it. I still don't really understand the appeal of looking at people talking.
I think it's just a bit more familiar, isn't it? I think you're more likely to sort of get involved if you can sort of see a little. It just adds a bit of personality, doesn't it, basically?
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. I'm more inclined to maybe watch a video podcast than listen to them.
Yeah, I feel like you are way more than me. I'm more of a I like podcasts when I'm doing something and it's, do you know what I mean? It's background.
Yeah. Well, luckily you're not listening. You're participating. So
I know, but it's added a new level of anxiety.
A whole new level of stress.
Actually, way more than one level. This is like,
yeah, it's a few up, isn't it? I think it's I think it's quite fitting that this is the kind of like the first episode of the noughties as well. We're sort of like keeping up with the technology through the decades.
Is that right? You couldn't do this in the noughties, could you?
What, web chat? Yeah, there was fucking video calling in the noughties.
It'd been great. I bet it was grainy. I bet it was grainy.
It was very 1 megapixel, very made in Minecraft type sense.
Right. Was that sort of chat roulette days?
Yeah. We've gone a little bit off topic here, but yeah, that was chat roulette around those chat roulette.
I know. Do you know what? I'm nervous. So I'm just saying any old shit. Like I can't get into it. I'm too nervous.
Look, we're not live streaming. So that's the main thing.
No, man, that is fuck me. Yeah. And then you've got like people slagging you off, like,
as you're
talking. I think I'll be way too distracted with how, like,
reading the live chat as it's going on. Everyone just cuts it wrong.
Getting upset.
Wrong. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right, so what are we talking about?
So here we are in the noughties. We fucking flied through the 80s and 90s, and we've ended up here. And we are starting with black metal, as that sort of came out top of the 90s decade.
It won the 90s, didn't it?
It did win the 90s. Any surprises with that?
Well, you'd think it would, considering how many albums we did that turned out to be black metal ones.
Yeah, true. We did 50
sort of dominated,
albums,
didn't it?
Didn't we? And there was probably about 10 black metal ones.
Do you reckon? Yeah, must have been.
Around that. Must have been, yeah. But yeah, so no, I guess maybe no surprises there then.
So in case you you haven't had enough black metal, is a bit more.
Here's more.
We're rewarding it by doing it again.
And there'll probably be more,
absolutely
found in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so the two albums, if this is your first time joining us, what we basically do is we randomly get selected two albums within a subgenre of metal within a decade, and then we discuss those albums. So basically, we do the hard work of finding good music, so you don't have to.
Yeah. Did you work on that?
Well, slightly. There was a little bit of off the cusp, a little bit there, off the cuff. All right. So the two albums we got, Alcest and Kralis. Now, as we're going into the noughties, we're probably going to be a lot more familiar with the bands that we get given, right?
Yeah, but yeah, no, definitely. I mean, this is kind of this decade for me and you is that the one where we kind of come into our formative years for discovering music, right?
Yeah, and sort of, I guess it's when we were in bands and stuff like that was happening. And I think once we sort of get into the kind of post-metal and metalcore and hardcore realm, we'll be a bit more versed than potentially some other genres.
Yeah. We're not doing hardcore, though, are we?
Nah, but it will get in there somehow,
won't it?
It'll crop up. Alcest or Kralis. So have you heard of either of these before?
Yeah, Kralis, definitely. I only in recent-ish years I heard Kralis, an album they did a few years ago. It was that lockdown album.
That's right.
They did. In fact, actually, no, I do think I had heard them a little bit before then, but it was that album. What was it called? It had that, like,
I can't remember.
Of a,
yeah, the artwork was
Amphibious Man type thing.
That's right. The artwork was quite different from any of their other stuff, actually. It didn't even have their logo on the front. It felt almost quite separate from their other bodies of work.
Yeah, it was a weird, it was a cool album, and it had like kind of a weird story of like the production techniques and stuff on it.
The drums were recorded on iPhone, and the vocals were recorded in a car, weren't they?
In his car, wasn't it? Yeah, like parked up by a swamp or something.
Yeah, parked up next to a lake or a swamp. Very bizarre, but pretty cool, man. And it definitely was an exciting listen. So
opened the Kralis door.
It did open the Kralis door. Personally, I mean, they're one of my favorite bands currently. They do this kind of like synthy, cosmic, post black metal, which is right up my street. But Alcest, had you got into them before?
No, I'd never heard of them.
Had you not?
No. I mean, no. I'm pretty sure I'd never heard of them before. Definitely never listened to them.
Yeah, I checked them out. A couple of my friends were really into them, so I checked out their kind of bigger album, but I really didn't like it. It's not my kind of type of black metal, but I guess we'll talk about that when we get into it. Should we start with them?
Yeah, let's start with Alcest, because they came out 2005, I think this one came out.
2005, correct. Yeah, Le Secret, which is actually French for The Secret. Did you know that?
No. No. I was going to say
this is actually an EP. So we've kind of gone against our no EP rule immediately.
Did we have a no EP rule?
Did we? I thought we did. Maybe we didn't.
I feel like we've done an EP.
Yeah, we did. Actually, our very first episode, we did a Metallica EP, Garage Days.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Maybe we didn't have that rule.
But then again, this one, particularly this Alcest one, like, it is an EP, but it's long enough to be maybe a mini album, if you know what I mean.
It's like half an hour, isn't it? Yeah. There's enough there to sort of classify it as an album. It's only two tracks, though, and they re-recorded the two tracks in 2011, I think it was.
Correct.
And the only difference was that they brought in a professional drummer to sort of overlay the drums this time, because it was all one person at the time.
Yeah, he did. I didn't realize that at first. He did everything back then, didn't he? So he played drums and did all the instruments on it and stuff, which is impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. Well, I've read that he was 17 when he did it, which is pretty crazy.
When he did this EP?
Yeah. Or maybe he wrote, I think he wrote Elevation when he was 16, I think, 17 when he said.
Well, he said about lyrically on this album, it was about sort of dreams he had when he was young, which obviously sounds like he still was. And he basically sort of invented this world, this dream world that he called Fairyland. Okay, and he based the lyrics around that kind of thing.
Okay. Which, so I guess
I imagine that winds you up, John.
We'll get into it. To a quick overlay of Alcest, it has the tagline "Black Gaze," which is kind of like, I guess, shoegaze meets black metal. And I read somewhere that he called it like a split between Someone and Burzum. I don't think you're really going to get that in this. I think that's a bit of a stretch. It definitely leans far more into the shoegaze and post world rather than black metal, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially like a shoegaze thing with blast beats, isn't it?
Yeah, more or less.
You're not getting any of the kind of other black metal tropes of like the guitar riffs and things like that. He does the kind of harsher vocal on Elevation. But yeah, it's kind of, there's obviously a black metal influence in there, but it's not really a black metal thing at all, is it?
No, it's a little bit of a slap in the face maybe to black metal to say that this is black metal and to do it first in the noughties. But I mean, I guess...
We'll do loads of other ones at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about it. There'll be plenty more. I feel like this episode is actually probably more is more like a kind of post-Black Metal episode that both are quite flirt that line, don't they?
It is. It's not... We haven't got... I don't think either album we've got is traditional Black Metal at all, but I thought it was cool to stick with these because it actually just showed what kind of happened, what sort of things happened within that genre from the 2000s onwards. You kind of got this new style that was being associated with Black Metal. So I thought that still made these quite valid albums to talk about.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think it is good to explore these stages in Black Metal because it's almost, yeah, it's like they both sort of birthed a variation. All right, so back to Alcest, two tracks. I guess we'll start with Le Secret. How did you get on with this?
Well, I want to ask you first of all. So we're talking about that the album was re-recorded.
Yes.
Did you listen to both versions of it, the original and the re-recorded one?
I mostly did the re-recorded, and then I briefly checked out the original
to compare, basically.
Yeah. What did you do?
But did you? Well, I did. I mainly did do the re-recorded one, but I did the original first and then did the re-recorded one.
So it was a lot thinner production-wise, wasn't it? And kind of, I don't want to say lo-fi, but
it was lo-fi. It was definitely lo-fi.
It wasn't lo-fi to the point where it was inaudible.
Oh, no, God, no, no. But it was a lo-fi recording production style, wasn't it? Definitely.
Do you think that was intentional, or do you think that was because of money and time and age, perhaps, if he was quite young?
Probably a bit of both. Probably a bit of both. It probably wasn't, you know, if he's into like that kind of Black Metal, it's a good if you're doing that sort of music, it's a good way of being able to record cheaply. If you kind of lean into that a little bit more, especially if you're starting out and you don't have the budget to do that, even if you wanted to go for like a bigger production.
It's very forgiving, isn't it? Black Metal can be very forgiving in that sense.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a fan of like a lo-fi production in Black Metal because I think when it works, it can add something more to the album and get across the kind of feelings of it and stuff better than something that's more produced and stuff that's really, you know, really highly produced. I'm not really a fan of at all anyway.
No, you certainly lose a part of the identity when it becomes too polished.
Yeah, but I have to say with this Alcest album, like re-recording it and the new production, I think dramatically improves the songs,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Agreed. I don't think this kind of Black Metal would be as successful if it didn't have that kind of polish. I think there's a bit too much going on tonality wise and I guess sonically with the layering of a lot of these things, it didn't lean itself to that lo-fi production.
No, and it's not there's not aggression in this sound, is there, that kind of benefits from being lo-fi and raw. It's more about what you're picking out in the kind of the melodies in the guitar playing and the big chords and stuff they're using, that I think it benefits from sounding bigger and more full and being able to kind of pick out more elements of it. I actually found myself, I did the original again just before we went on the show because I want to see how I kind of felt about it after listening to the re-recorded one, and I actually then appreciated it a bit more.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, I think especially because I'd learned that he kind of did it all himself as well, and I just kind of appreciate what that was and the fact that you could still hear the stuff that was great about the re-record. You could still pick that out just about in the original and sort of hearing that, oh yeah, that stuff was all there originally. It was just wasn't as clear as before. I thought it favors. I was pleased with the way round I did it, doing the original, going to the re-record, then going back and just sort of then listening to it that way around.
Yeah. Well, how, like, all right, I guess we haven't really even touched about how you thought about the music in general.
I feel, do you know what? I don't know why. I feel like I'm sort of dancing around the idea. I think it's because I know you're going to slag it off.
And you loved it.
Do you know what? I I did really enjoy it, actually. It grew on me. It really grew on me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I didn't like it.
Is that because you feel you have to hate it, John?
No, because I do love quite shoegazy music when it's sort of around that, but I just, there's just something about bringing it into the black metal world that I really don't get on board with.
I think you went in with sort of hate in your heart about this album. EP.
Probably true. Yeah, EP. Probably true. I guess because I had...
It didn't have a chance, did it? It didn't have a
chance.
Well,
I gave it a chance. I don't think you did.
I think you listened to it through gritted ears.
Because I knew that I wasn't a fan of this band prior, I guess probably it was a bit more of a slog for me to start this. That's not to say there weren't some moments that I enjoyed. I just thought overall it was quite, you could tell it was almost like the starting point of this kind of black gaze thing, because it didn't quite know where it wanted to combine the two, if that makes any sense to you.
I don't really get that, but then I haven't listened to a lot of this black gaze stuff. I always assumed it was going to be a ton of bands all sounding exactly the same, like really simply done, basically playing sort of My Bloody Valentine chords over blast beats, which is what I kind of assumed it would all pretty much be. And at first I thought this was the same thing, but I think just like I listened to it a few times, and I think the fact that it was an EP really helped with that, because there was a lot of appeal for me to go back and listen, because I'm like, do you know what, it's two songs, yeah, 25 minutes, like I can give this the time, you know. So I actually listened to it quite a lot.
Do you think had it been an album, you might have found yourself being a little bit more bored by it? The fact that it was kind of over in 25 minutes.
Yeah, I think I would. Because you think if that was an album, it probably would have been close to an hour, like four or five songs, like an hour of music. Okay. And I think it would have dragged. Whereas I felt like these two songs, they actually felt like one piece of music to me, to be honest with you. Like, when Le Secret ended, you had that really nice ambient intro to Elevation. It was quite Brian Eno-esque. And that sort of came in straight from the ending of that one. So for me, if I listened to it again now for the first time and didn't look, I probably would have assumed it was one piece, like carrying on into one another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it definitely gives off that vibe.
And I was going to say, I like how in the first song, like the vocal style in it is that sort of Cocteau Twins, like sung sort of part, which actually took me by surprise because I didn't know this band at all. And it was a pleasant surprise as well. Like I really enjoyed how when it came in on the blast beats, it was like completely sung vocals, which were really, they were really nice vocals as well. I thought he hit the melodies he would write and things like that were amazing, actually.
It was no surprise when I heard those kind of sung vocals come in, but I preferred the sung vocal to when he tried to do the kind of, I guess, harsh black metal vocal. But for me, it just wasn't harsh enough to kind of cut through. It just felt a little bit more, I'm screaming because this is my black metal part. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. And I definitely preferred the sung vocals, but I thought his like harsher vocals were good enough as well. Like I'm imagining they probably held back more with it being so kind of melodic, and it's quite upbeat, isn't it?
Yeah,
quite a lot of it. It's quite there's not a lot of darkness to the riffs at all.
There's not a lot of darkness throughout. I guess that's probably my problem with it. Like for me, black metal, it needs an undercurrent of evil darkness. Otherwise, it's just not hitting that subgenre for me.
I listened to this and kind of put the whole black metal thing out of my mind quite quickly and was like, this to me just feels like a sort of thing that you view as what it is. Like, I couldn't, and I know this is completely defeats the point of the show, but I sort of took away any kind of genre tags when listening to this and just listened to it as a piece of music. And I think doing that made me enjoy it even more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you could do that. We all weren't so lucky with that.
Gee, John, you're so like, oh, it's got to be hateful.
It's got to be evil.
It's got to be, yeah, I know, exactly. Why is he not a neo-Nazi?
Fucking hell. It's a touchy subject with black metal, isn't it? I'm sure we'll probably come onto some of those as we go more into the 10 to 20.
We're not picking, that is very specific if we're picking
that's definitely not going to be a point. Gosh, I wonder
can you imagine if that became like that was the popular one?
That's where we got all our fans.
It's got all our fans all commenting like hate underneath. Horrible.
Oh God. Yeah. There was one part in Le Secret. Sorry, back to we'll leave Nazis aside.
Yeah, we'll leave the Nazis over there.
There was a part in it around the 10-minute mark on Le Secret.
They wanted France, didn't they? Huh?
Yeah, they did. There was a part around the 10-minute mark in Le Secret where it kind of the drums double timed.
Yeah.
But then he did this awful drum beat. It was almost
the exact bit you mean.
It's one of those like my first drum beat learned that you learned.
It really is. Yeah. I know the exact one. The amount of times you've seen someone go, I can play the drums. Like, and they do that. And I don't know why.
It's like,
yeah, it was that. Yeah. And it sounded as bad as when you hear someone do that.
Yeah. You're never going to go.
It wasn't like hearing a pro do it. It wasn't like asking, I don't know, Mike Portnoy or something to have a go at that beat. Like,
yeah, there was no flavor. It was just, which is weird because I guess I didn't listen as intently, but were the drums identical between the original and the?
I think pretty much. I don't think it was any, unless you were, I don't think me and you listening to this for a week, we would know it well enough to pick up on any changes, but there might have been the odd bit, but I think overall, all of it pretty much mirrored the original. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that would kind of make sense if you think that a 17-year-old person has like done the drums for this and they're not particularly a drummer.
And in 2005 as well, I feel like that beat, maybe did it peak around the 2000s, people doing that beat?
I don't know, but I'm glad
actual music, but like people get behind the drums. I'll drum on it.
Yeah, give it a go. I don't really have much to say anymore about this, purely because it, like we said, it sort of is like one continuous piece that it's not riffy. It's not like you're going to go the riffer.
No.
4 minute point, it is quite shoegazy and constant. It just didn't do it for me.
It was never going to do it for you, was it?
No. I mean, it was an uphill battle for it, and yeah, it didn't come out on top.
I thought it was really good, man. I really did. Like, it really did grow on me as an EP. It really did. I the first listen, I was like quite bored listening to the original. Yeah. And it wasn't until I tried the re-recorded one where I could start hearing what they were doing on there and realizing that the songwriting is really good. He's obviously a very, very good musician, man.
The transition,
that all on his own.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think the transitions in it are really cool. Like, it never felt too like stop starty, which was quite nice.
No. And they would do bits where they were kind of the drums would stop and it would go kind of just guitar or guitar and whatever for a while, and it all felt flowing. It was flowing and kind of natural sounding. I thought it was really good, man. I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was good.
Do you have a score?
I do have a score. What did I score it?
I don't
have I a score. Scored it. You don't have a score?
No, I'm
do you want to hear mine?
I want to hear yours, and then I'm gonna sort of chop a couple off.
We're gonna be so out, man, from one another. But I've given this a 4.1.
That's high. That's surprisingly high.
It's definitely. I'm confident in that. Confident in your wrongness.
I'm going to give it a 3.1. And that's being nice, because I was considering 2, but it wasn't a completely like abhorrent listen. I listened to it.
Fucking hell.
I listened to
it. It didn't utterly repel me.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
3.1. I think if you'd gone in the 2s, man, that'd have been harsh.
Yeah, I think it would have been.
Because it's really like, surely you've got to admire the songwriting and stuff on there.
I do.
Well done.
I do. I think because I read it sort of like birthed this black gaze thing, it just...
Do you blame it? Up. Is that what it
yeah,
is?
There's some resentment there. Like bands like Death Heaven, I just can't deal with that. And maybe they wouldn't exist today.
Is that because they're popular?
No, if you listen to them.
They did an EP. I think it was the first thing they brought out that I remember really liking at the time.
No, what a surprise.
No, I know, but I haven't really heard them since then. But I think their first EP was it was way more black metal sounding than what they went on to do.
Yeah, then they heard this and then thought, hang on.
I love a bit of that.
Yep. Put some of that in. Okay. I think that's about a fair point. What does that average out? What did you give it? 4.1?
4.1.
And I gave it a 3.1. What's that? 3.5, 3.6 around there?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah.
7 out of 10.
All right, let's go on to Prowlis. Let's get a bit more positive, shall we, John?
Never assume. But
it's
yes,
a good point, actually.
From one band that I had preconceived notions about to another, I guess Prowlis. So like I said at the start of the show, I love Prowlis, but I'd never gone back to this album. It was completely... They've got like 30 albums or something stupid.
They've got so many albums. For a band that's only been going, 15 years or so? Like, what have they done? Like 13 albums or something?
Yeah, maybe even more. The output is insanity. I think they even released 2 last year.
Yeah, they did, because I listened to the latest one and I listened to that Crystalline Exhaustion album.
Yeah.
And there was one in the middle of them that I didn't even realize.
Yeah, it's mad. Like crazy mad. And for how technical they are, it's not as if they're just blasting out nonsense for albums. Like, it's genuinely intricate music.
How have they got time in their lives to do that?
I guess just the main songwriter must just be a workhorse.
Do they tour?
I don't know. I know that they do play live. I've seen live footage, but I don't know if they tour. Necessarily.
I wonder if they're largely a studio band and that they're able to just
churn
keep
out because
working on stuff. Yeah,
potentially. So yeah, okay. This is their debut. It came out in 2008. I mean, you can hear it's the sort of starting blueprint of what they have become. The album is just rife with chaotic energy. I think that's a good way to explain this. There's a lot of chaos, but it's all put together so intricately and thoughtfully that it's quite something.
It's yeah, man. I thought this was amazing. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Yeah, I really did. And I actually, for me, of all the Prowlis albums I've listened to, and it's not that many, I probably only listened to about 3 before before listening to this one. And it was the later stuff they've done. I preferred this. I preferred the earliest the first album to what it's really cool to hear the evolution from this to what they are now. But it's quite different, isn't it? Even though it's within the same sort of confines, like
it is.
I didn't realize how synth heavy they are. And I know they're very synth heavy now, but even a few albums back. I think the synths came in fairly early on in their careers, didn't they? That became quite it's a real integral part of their sound, though. It's basically up front and center in it, isn't it? Pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I had a feeling you'd enjoy this because it was giving me. I was going to say it was giving me sort of like early noughties. It was quite mathy in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought this would be right up your street in terms of like, in terms of that.
Yeah, it really was. I think he was, I think one of them was in that band Dysrhythmia, who were like instrumental sort of math, like heavy kind of math, sort of noisy music thing. I think he was in, I think one of them was in that band, because they're essentially a two piece, aren't they, Kralis? Are they? That right?
I know it centers around one dude, but I thought that they were like a fully fledged band.
Oh, well, I'm wondering if they were maybe a two piece originally and then have brought people. I think they might have been. I've been wrong here.
Potentially. Amazing. And like, whereas Alcest wasn't riffy, Kralis was quite riffy, but without being obvious about it. They were like, they were quite hidden.
Yeah,
in and amongst the chaos.
It wasn't overly riffy. It was kind of there's some similarities with here and Alcest in the sense I thought there was a lot of melody in there. Like the guitar playing was largely quite melodic in a sense. I felt like it was more light than dark, a lot of it.
I get what you're saying. I still think it had that undertone of evilness throughout, even when it was being quite like uplifting and like major chords, I want to say. It still had that element of evilness. I think that was maybe the production. I don't know.
I think what often happened was that they'd be doing a section and it might have kind of quite like melodic kind of guitar playing in it and stuff. And then they'd just sort of inject like, say, a blast beat part where they'd go on to like a tremolo riff or something like that. They'd throw those sort of bits in and out throughout. There was a lot of that going on, which I really loved. Like a lot of lead lines that would just come in and like, it wouldn't be like a solo as such. It'd just be like, they'd go on to like a lead guitar for like to sort of form the riff for certain parts. And they were always really cool, quite inventive, sort of had it. You could still hear the black metal in them, but different. This album to me is one that you listen to and go, wow, this is black metal done differently.
Yeah, 100%. There was only maybe one song on there. Which one? Time Husk. I think Time Husk was probably the closest song to being like, this is black metal, but with their sort of twist on it. But that, for me, that was like the kind of standout song.
Well, that riff at the end, when it goes thrash.
The thrash riff.
That's
fucking awesome, man. Then the double kick meets it like halfway through, and it just, you're like, what the fuck? That's the cool thing with this band.
That was so good, man.
Yeah, so like, for me, that was like moment of the album, potentially.
Yeah.
Very memorable. But I think that's why it works so well, because they have like minutes of build-up of like layering these kind of discordant tremolo picking, like open chords sometimes. Then when they all come together on a riff, which they don't do often because they're all sort of, usually they're all playing something quite different
for
the intricacy. But when they all come together on like one riff, and they don't normally do it for very long, it just adds another level of power.
Yeah. That's, when I first heard it and I heard that riff at the end of Time Husk, I was like, whoa, like I haven't heard this yet in the album. So when it happened, it really stood out, because as you said, I can't even think of another time when they really do anything like that on the whole album. So that bit just sort of immediately sticks out.
On the track before, sorry, just to jump in, they sort of did all come together at one point for another huge riff. Where was it? About the 6:50 mark. But it wasn't like a thrash moment. It was more like a headbangy type riff. But it was again that kind of like build up of just intricacies to all come together. It's really, really stand up.
The what you were saying earlier about the how they're all kind of doing different things, I thought the bass playing in it was amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
Often doing different stuff or carrying the section forward. Like the guitars might be kind of adding ambience and stuff, but the bass is what's actually like adding the impact and stuff. And the way the bass and the drums, that their relationship's really good. They seem really locked in together. And
yeah.
In fact, that song you were just talking about, that Molech Codices, there's like a part, it's about, you like this, John, about 420. There's a bass, there's like the bass is like carrying the chord changes on it.
Yeah.
And it sounds amazing. The production on the bass is great as well. It's like perfect.
Yes, it's so good. I was reading up about it. They initially wanted a more like lo-fi sound, and they quickly realized that there was just too much going on. It needed more fidelity than that, so they sort of opted for a bit more of a cleaner sound, and I think it works. They put the bass through two heads, one with a load of fat distortion on it, so it really gives it that. It sounded really punchy, but it was still quite fuzzed. It was just a really nice sound.
It was definitely clear. Like it wasn't fuzzed out to the point where you couldn't work out what was going on at all. As you said, it had that punch to it. And I think the production's perfect. I think it's got the right sort of level of it being, you know, lo-fi enough that it doesn't sound like it's a pristine studio recording. But it's got enough production value in it to pick out everything that's going on. They've nailed that aspect of it, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Any other songs that you had as standout, or was Time Husk your
I liked all of it, man. I really did. Yeah. I know it sounds lazy, but I really liked all of it. I loved the first song. I thought it was really cool. A few times, I don't know if you noticed, they kind of had that like, they do kind of like a punk type beat.
Like quite 1-2, 1-2.
Not like a fast skate punk type thing, but they do that sort of more upbeat kind of thing. They did it on track one, like when it comes in with the drums, because it had quite a lengthy guitar intro. And when the drums come in, it's that sort of, you know, that's kind of like double time, but double pedal kind of beat over the top, which surprised me because that's the sort of thing I'd never really associated with Kralis doing that kind of beat over their stuff.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I think they were quite experimental on this record, which I think for your taste, it was probably more beneficial for you.
Oh man, honestly, this was right up my street.
Yeah.
And I would have, I wish I'd heard this back in the day. Same with Alcest, actually. I wish I'd heard that back then as well, because I would have loved these albums back when they came out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking 2008, I was probably a bit too ignorant with metalcore and hardcore to sort of maybe appreciate Kralis.
I mean, maybe I was, man. How old would I have been then? I don't want to know, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think this would have been bang right for me.
Yeah, you reckon?
This would, yeah, I think I would have been deep into my sort of Hydra head sort of days.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point.
Right up your street.
I think this would have, yeah, right up my street. I'm surprised I'd never heard of them back in the day.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think their album that they released within the last 5 years, I want to say, was like the one that they saw most kind of success from. But Kralis...
That Crystalline Exhaustion one.
Oh, no, I was talking about Alcest. Kralis...
Oh, shit.
I don't know how popular Kralis are.
Even if they are, they're underrated, aren't they?
They're very underrated. You just don't really hear them be mentioned in conversations that often. But, I mean, that Crystalline...
Do you think their name's cool enough?
Kralis... It's better than Alcest.
Yeah. Similar vibe.
Yeah, not a million miles away. I don't know. I don't think the name's the problem when you think about some bands that are huge, like, I don't know, 200 Stab Wounds or something like that.
Are they huge? I've never even heard them. I've heard of them. The name absolutely puts me off. I'd never listen to them.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm not. If someone said, oh, I'll listen to Kralis, I wouldn't be like, that name's horrendous. I'm not checking them out.
No,
so I don't think that's an issue.
What do you picture when you hear that name? Do you picture like a
Kralis
sort of? Yeah, like a beast. I pick like a sci-fi beast.
I weirdly the first
or an enemy in
mind,
Turtles. What's the name of the bad guy in Turtles?
Shredder.
No, the other one, the little brain, the brain.
Krang.
Do you remember the brain?
Krang.
Yeah, Krang. Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Kralis Krang. Yeah, not a million miles away. I actually think of lettuce. I don't know why.
You think of lettuce?
Yeah, when I hear the word Kralis, I just think of a green leafy
lettuce.
Salad.
You know, yeah. different minds.
Very different minds. But no, man, I don't think the name would be a reason why they're not as spoken about. Who knows?
Do you think they wore corpse paint and stuff?
That's a whole other thing, right? Because a lot of black metal fans are quite gatekeepy, stuck up, I want to say, and like... I want to adhere to those traditions that I just don't think Kralis are about. So if they do get fans, it will be through different different mediums potentially.
Yeah, got you.
All
right, man. What about you? You haven't really spoken. I don't feel like you've spoken a lot about this. Have you? About what you liked?
No, not really. I love this from start to finish. I think it's not necessarily my favorite Kralis album. I think Crystalline Exhaustion is something that everyone should go and check out because I think that's pretty exceptional. But this, as a starting point, was insanely solid. Like, if you think about a lot
man,
of...
As a debut,
that's
album.
That's what I mean, yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to find a debut that was, like, as intricate and chaotic, but also uplifting and powerful.
I found that throughout. It's got an uplifting vibe. It's quite emotive, like, throughout the playing and stuff. It's really... There's so much melody going on in it, and it's great. It's not obvious in the way that Alcest do it. Like,
yeah,
as you were saying, they mix the light and dark really well. And vocally, I thought the vocals were really good. And I wonder, John, his vocals have changed, haven't they? Now slightly, he's not quite the same stylistically.
There's a lot less vocals now. I think they sort of maybe went down a more, I don't want to say instrumental route, but they allowed a lot more time for the songs to grow. But no, they're not a million miles away. I don't know if it is the same vocalist or not, to be honest. I have no idea about
this. I'm sure he sounds a bit sort of deeper and stuff now when he does it.
Potentially, but if it's the same guy, then you're going to assume that, right? This was what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, good point, man. Yeah, really good point. You forget how old this is.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were as old as this, Kralis. I didn't think they were that old.
No, I knew that they were sort of around from then, but I just never bothered to go back because I loved so much what I heard at the front end, or like the back end rather, that it was just enough for me to sort of stay with. I never ventured back. But what I'm going to do is maybe go through their discography and just see how it all stacks up.
Same. I want to do some more of the earlier albums.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see the journey now from where they went from here to where they ended up. And I want to sort of hear if there's a transition, if there's some transitional albums.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to hear. But yeah, I mean, in terms of just picking out things from this album, yeah, there's like, it was the things that I kind of pointed out earlier, that thrashy moment at the end of Time Husk, Molech Codices, really cool. And Forgiveness in Rot at the Ender. I thought that was pretty great. It was like the longest song, 15 minutes long, which I was worried that you were maybe going to struggle with. It brought all the themes together in a really kind of concise ender.
I felt like that one was maybe a bit more simple structurally, and it didn't have as much sort of that, the kind of the technical parts to it. But it was great. It was really cool. I felt it was actually kind of just a bit more of a simple kind of looping song almost. But 15 minutes, I enjoyed every minute of it. You kind of got caught up in it and was just sort of listening.
Yeah,
listening to it sort of unfold, and I really liked it.
It was very meditative in places, wasn't it?
Yeah, which I think is what, like, that the lack of, they weren't kind of stopping to add these kind of really technical parts in that song, so it had that meditative feel because it was quite samey all the way through, but in a good way. It was, they did it really well.
Yeah, yeah, cool. I mean, should we score? I think I'm happy to move on.
Yeah, man, I'm going to give it, I've got my score, I'm going to give it 4.5.
I was going to go with 4.5 as well.
Go on, copy me.
Yeah, 4.6 then. No, I'm going to go 4.5. 4.5.
You're going to go 4.5?
Yeah, I'll copy you. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Right. Well, moving on up then, I guess, next week.
Next week. Right, what are we, so next week, we've got, so what, who came second? Was it Rap Metal? Came second in the 90s.
Oh yeah, that's right, Rap Metal. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Shit, right, we've got Naughty's Rap Metal as well, like.
Potential. All right, let's hit up the shuffler. We'll sort of pretend that we're not just using a website to find these things and that we do have some crazy
computer. We're not.
No, it's a supercomputer that sort of would do all this for you.
It's like, you know those old ones when, you know, when they you see footage like in the sort of 70s or something, it'd be like this computer that could type a letter or something, and it took up a warehouse.
Yeah.
Got one of them, eh?
We got one of those out back.
Yeah.
All right, Rap Metal. I have selected mine.
Let me do mine, sorry.
Yeah, done it.
No. Oh God.
Right. Well, I have got, I'm sure you've heard of this band. They're a British band. It's definitely rap metal. I got Skin Joy.
Who could that? What? Oh my shit! I've. Do you know what, you've trumped me? Because I was fucking hell. What I've got, but mine looks all right now in comparison.
Well, I mean, most would, I guess, without giving too much away.
Oh yeah. What would you rather listen to, Skin Dread or Alcest?
Alcest.
You mulling that over?
I mulled it over for a mini second. Alcest, yeah.
I'd listen to Alcest.
Right. So, hang on, what did I give Alcest? Okay, yeah.
I've never listened to Skin Dread.
You haven't? I've got a little story about them. I guess we can talk about that next week.
Shit, I've got a little story about them as well, actually.
Okay. Story
it's very tenuous. Mine's very tenuous. It's very,
yeah, mine's not actually
it,
that.
It doesn't really involve them at all, actually. But
doesn't matter. Is it slanderous?
I'll tell it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. We'll say, story time with Shuffle Bloody Shuffle next week with rap metal. So you haven't told me what you've got.
Yeah, but have you ever told me the album, have you?
No, I haven't told you the album name. I've closed the window. What was the album name? What was I think it was their debut.
Come on, John. Surely you got it in front of you, right?
No, I closed the window. Babylon.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah. Right. So they're like reggae metal, aren't they? Ragga metal.
Yeah. So.
All right.
It's an interesting one. So what have you got?
I've got, it's a big album I've got. Massive. I've got Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory.
Interesting. We never spoke about Linkin Park, me and you. Yeah.
No, we haven't. And why would we? Really?
Well, no. Well, I guess maybe on our nu metal episode, we didn't really even touch on it at all.
Well, no, because they weren't a 90s band, were they?
No, exactly. This was their debut. Okay. Interesting. I'm excited to talk those. There's a lot of history there.
What, with you and them?
Yeah, ish.
Really?
Well, join in. Tune in next week.
Tune in next week when John reveals he's the new singer of
Okay. Any final words to end this? I'll tell you what, for a first video episode, I think it went quite smoothly. I was expecting some sort of technical issue or something.
Nothing so far. No. I mean, I don't feel as comfortable doing this as I did when we were just doing the audio.
No, but I guess that will come. Like, you didn't feel comfortable in episode one of the audio. Do you know what I mean? And look at you now.
No, I feel look at me now. Well, I am. I feel like I am one of those people that should be heard and not seen.
Oh, don't be silly. Don't be silly. It's an excuse to wear a good bit of band merch every week.
And are you sort of selecting t-shirts that semi relevant to the? No, you're not really. Are you?
No, I'm not. No, but maybe I will. Maybe I will.
Maybe you will.
Do I have a rap metal t-shirt? No, I've got something that's not a million miles away.
Have you?
Yeah. You wear
that. I'll get myself one of those like fucked t-shirts ones. You know, like,
yeah, I remember
those. It looks like the Ford sign.
Yeah, I remember those. Classics. A Camden classic.
I popped to Camden.
Yeah. Okay. Any last words?
No. Nothing.
Fantastic. Join in next week for Naughty's Rap Metal.
Do I click end?